Dr. Cadron is here. He's the newly elected chair of the SSC, and he's going to deliver a report of the deliberations that the SSC had here in this hotel yesterday. Whenever you're ready, Steve. Steve, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want this on microphone so we can get it on the tape.
All right.
So if somebody on staff could maybe swap out mics, if you know how to do that.
Yep.
Here we go.
Thank you. Like the SSC, that was a group effort. I'd like quickly to go over what our agenda was yesterday at the SSC meeting. We did do elections. I had been appointed by the executive committee as the interim chair. The SSC ran elections and are nominating me as the chair, which now needs to be confirmed by the executive committee. We also have three nominees for SSC vice chair, which we'll vote on at the November meeting for executive committee confirmation. We had two major issues to discuss yesterday. Three issues. The first was SSC process. Given the new requirements of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, how are we going to approach things like determining acceptable biological catch? So we needed to set our priorities and operating procedures. This is very timely because it prepares us for a National Science and Statistical Committee workshop that's planned next month, in which a subset of us will attend that and report on our deliberations about process and learn things from the national workshop to come back to our November meeting and make a final determination of standard operating procedures. The two planned topics that we talked about were the scallop overfishing definition being considered for Amendment 15. There should be a memo that each council member has. There are extra copies on the back table. That's dated today from me to the executive director. The next agenda item was reviewing Amendment 3 to the skate plan. There were also some other requests that due to time constraints and priorities we were not able to get to. So quickly I'll go over some of the discussions of our standard operating procedures. These are not final. They are still in draft. We appreciate any input from the council or other community members, and we will discuss this again in November for final procedures. We realize that the workload of the SSC is going to increase with the new requirements of the Act, and there may be a variety of requests coming from many different aspects of the council to the SSC, so we felt prioritization was an important first step for us, is that given the requirement in the Act for the SSC to provide recommendations on acceptable biological catch, we thought our mandated requirements should come first. So any ABC recommendations or requests for ABC recommendations should be our first priority. After that, we would prioritize other requests based on where it's coming from and the nature of the request. Essentially have a tiered system where it starts at the top. Requests from the council would have highest priority, the executive committee, plan committees, and PDTs. And also, if those requests are consensus requests, majority requests, or simply a member of one of those groups requesting a topic for SSC review. So in that sense, we'll prioritize things. One of the fruitful discussions yesterday was that in the council machinery, there are several aspects of the act that we're calling the spirit of the act here that may fall through the cracks. And the SSC would like to take a forward-looking approach to some of these things like ecosystem-based management, social benefits, and economic optimization. And so we will, in our annual agenda setting, be including these topics in our agenda as well as council requests. Getting on to some of the more nuts and bolts procedures, we agreed with the executive committee that we should meet each time the council meets in conjunction with a council meeting, similar to the way we did this week, where we would meet a day before, have the morning to prepare our recommendations, and report our recommendations in the afternoon of the first day of a council meeting. We may also schedule other meetings to meet our needs to serve the council. We would like to consider each request 1 month before the council deliberates on the issue. The skate topic this month gives us a good example of that. We were able to deliberate yesterday. There are still some loose ends which we can tie up over the month so that when we meet again in November, we can have a more thoughtful and timely document that perhaps adds more value to council decisions than just doing things with 1 day's advance notice. We thought that we should seek a quorum, especially for important recommendations on ABC. And we feel that we should have a majority, so at least seven members out of 15 should be in attendance to provide some of the more meaningful recommendations. We will try to produce consensus statements. And so as much as possible, we want to find scientific consensus on the requests that we get from the council. Now, this doesn't mean we can all be in complete agreement. What it may be is that we have a consensus statement that identifies what we agree on most and with caveats. There was one matter that we would like feedback from the council on, and it came as a matter of compensation for SSC members. We feel that the SSC input is as important as council member input, and we're requesting that the council make a statement about compensation for SSC members, realizing that compensation for SSC members is not entirely in the authority of the New England Council. But a statement on this would be appreciated. That's all I have for SSC process. I'll go on to our next agenda item, which was our main item to deliver recommendations on today, and that's the scallop overfishing definition. We were asked to review a modified overfishing definition being considered for Amendment 15. A similar modification was reviewed as a part of Amendment 10, and the SSC provided the recommendation that it provides an appropriate scheme for addressing area rotation, protects against loss of yield due to excessive fishing in open areas. It allows management flexibility, both in terms of which areas are opened and the time frame over which the stock is utilized. The SSC yesterday reconsidered a slightly revised definition of overfishing that accounts for spatial and temporal variability in fishing mortality rate. As a group, we reviewed the council request, an overview presentation by the PDT, and three background publications that are listed in the memo that's been distributed. As a bit of a background in what's being proposed, the current overfishing definition of scallops is based on a conventional estimate of FMAX. So that's the fishing mortality that produced maximum yield per recruit. And so if we fish the entire resource at a constant rate of fishing mortality, we should get that expected maximum yield per recruit. However, as this graph shows, and I guess what I just depicted was the black dot in this graph. If we fish the entire resource at a constant rate of fishing mortality, this fishing mortality should give us the maximum yield per recruit. However, if there's variation in the fishing mortality experienced by different segments of the population, say a low fishing mortality and a high fishing mortality, the average yield per recruit for those two is not going to equal the maximum. So we're not going to attain our maximum yield per recruit expectations in the face of variable fishing mortalities. And of course, the scallop fishery management plan relies on heterogeneity or variation in fishing mortality by permanently closed areas, rotational closures, and open areas. So we have managed for variability in fishing mortality. The revised overfishing definition accounts for this variability in fishing mortality in space by recognizing closed areas, rotational closures, and open areas, and time, that some of the scallop resource has times when it's open and closed to fishing. Our recommendations, which is on the second side, on the back side of the memo, we have three recommendations. The first is a simple answer to the request. The analyses supporting the proposed overfishing definition are scientifically sound and should be considered in Scallop Amendment 15. Building on the reasons why, the second recommendation is that the spatially adjusted FMAX calculation used in the alternative is more realistic than the conventional FMAX calculation because it's more compatible with the current area management strategy. As an example, there could be an instance with the current overfishing definition in which the overall resource may not be experiencing overfishing, so we're fishing at FMAX or below, but due to the spatial heterogeneity, the spatial variability, individual areas may be growth overfished. That is, they're not producing the maximum yield per recruit, resulting in foregone yield. Finally, this is a bit more forward-looking, is that although FMAX is a reasonable proxy for FMSY, which is required in the Act, the SSC recommends more explicit consideration of long-term sustainable yield, kind of a more direct conformance to the Act, rather than yield per recruit. Some examples of things that are not considered in managing the scallop resource based on yield per recruit is non-equilibrium conditions, stock recruit relationships, conserving spawning potential, density dependence in the different vital rates of the scallop population, and environmental influences. In one of our recommendations in Scallop Amendment 15 is that if FMAX is the choice for harvest strategy, that all of these other aspects of the scallop population should be monitored while managing at FMAX. So that list of things that are being ignored by FMAX should be monitored to see if there's, for example, a decrease in spawning potential, density-dependent effects, and the other things that are being ignored by FMAX. And then finally, the last bullet is advocacy to consider alternatives that are less sensitive to spatial patterns. For example, spawning biomass per recruit reference points would have less sensitivity to spatial variability and would allow flexibility to manage for a variety of objectives, optimum yield, economic, social utilities. For example, the groundfish plan now prioritizes the maintenance of biomass per recruit and determines the fishing mortality that will maintain that level of biomass per recruit. In a sense, this is advocating a shift in emphasis from managing scallops to maximize yield per recruit to managing scallops to maintain reproductive potential. That's all I have on the scallop overfishing definition. Moving on to the skate plan, this is using the new procedures that we'd like to start with the SSC, where we deliberate on an issue 1 month ahead. So the things that we discussed yesterday were the overfish status of smooth, thorny, and winter skates, overfishing status of thorny skate, how to implement annual catch limits and accountability measures, and the need to revise baseline review process. We have developed a draft response, which we'll be working on over the month to deliver to the council next month. Essentially, we've confirmed the first two there, the overfished and overfishing statuses. We've confirmed that those were appropriate applications of the overfishing definitions. We had made a statement last April on annual catch limits and accountability measures, essentially that the data involved in skate management are not adequate for precise catch advice or precise catch management. We're fortunate that there will be a data poor workshop in which the peer review will be in December that will give us guidance on a baseline review process. And again, you'll hear more details next November when we have final recommendations for the skate plan. That's all I had, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions for Steve? Dr. Pierce.
Yes, Steve, congratulations on your assuming this position as chair. I'm sure that the executive committee will give that the stamp of approval. Just a couple of clarifications and then a question that relates to scallops. In the first part of your presentation, you mentioned that a majority quorum should be sought, at least seven members should be present. If seven members are not present, if less than that attend, does that mean that the SSC will not have any recommendations to forward to us? Because you said it should be sought. It doesn't say it definitely would be the rule by which you would operate.
If I may respond, thank you, David. What we discussed was, by all manners legally possible, we should seek a quorum. So one issue, preferentially, we have seven or more members at every meeting, and we should try to ensure that. The role of the SSC is increasing in the council process, and we're hoping that each SSC member can make each meeting. If we're in a situation where we have less than seven, what we may do is develop a draft recommendation, distribute it remotely to SSC members for their remote approval, so that hopefully we can get a majority approval of any consensus statements that we report to the council.
All right, thank you. That certainly sounds fair enough. Considering the importance of the SSC, I would expect that there would be far more than seven members present at every meeting, especially if you have compensation, which is, I think, key to the successful operation of the SSC. You also indicated in the first part of your presentation that you will prioritize requests according to the nature of the requests, and then in parentheses, consensus, majority, members. That was then followed by your saying that the SSC should provide consensus recommendations. So there seems to be a bit of a disconnect there. I'm obviously not understanding what you said. It's if you're prioritizing requests according to the nature of the request, does that mean that the council would be asking for you at times to provide a consensus view versus a majority view? What have I missed?
I think we may be mixing two issues. What we would like to provide the council with is a consensus recommendation. However, when we prioritize our tasks, it would help us to know where the request is coming from, what level of the council is it coming from, and, for example, if it's a plan development team that's requesting review by the SSC, is it one member of the PDT? Is it the entire PDT? Does the PDT as a whole request this? And so, again, our first tier of prioritization would be what level of the council is it coming from, and then within that, was this a consensus, a majority, or one member of that level that's requesting?
Okay, thank you. And then finally, in the SSC recommendation relative to the scallop, sea scallop, modified overfishing definition, you say in number three on the back page of that particular report to us, that although FMAX may be a reasonable proxy for FMSY, the SSC is recommending more explicit consideration of long-term sustainable yield. But then the SSC seems to connect that to an important provision, and that would be that all of the elements that are needed for calculation of long-term sustainable yield should be monitored. Now, if you can't monitor these things, and you've listed them here, and they're all pretty significant, and I don't think easy to monitor, but if they cannot be monitored, then how in the world can we shift from the FMAX concept to the long-term sustainable yield?
That's an excellent question, but I think the consensus in the room, both the SSC and the PDT members that were there, is that we do have the information to monitor these things for scallops, is that it may be reasonable that recruitment is not a function of stock size, at least in the precise sense, and it may not be a function of fishing mortality, in which case managing based on FMAX will give you a reasonable proxy for MSY. However, we need to monitor that remains to be true, that if we have depleted reproductive potential and recruitment decreases following decreases in reproductive potential, we need to be sensitive to that. While we're managing based on FMAX, we can't be blind to the other things that would produce long-term sustainable yield.
Dr. Weinberg.
Thanks. Steve, I'd like you to try to clarify one thing that you said. It had to do with the data poor stocks working group for skates. And there was a line that said something about the baseline review process. And I didn't understand quite what you were expecting and whether I agree with that or disagree.
Okay, good. I'm glad you asked that then. Is that we're hoping that data poor stocks will find a place in the peer review process. It's that, unfortunately, the conventional peer review process is best applied to data rich resources for things like status determination, reference points, projections, which are the generic terms of reference for a stock assessment and a peer review. For many of our resources in New England, we don't have the data to support those generic terms of reference. And we're hoping that the data poor workshop will shed some light on the best way to approach this systematically. And skates will be part of a larger group of data poor resources in which we're hoping to get guidance on the best way to proceed systematically for management of these resources.
Paul Howard.
Thank you, Dr. Caven. I think those recommendations are great, and we're brand new at this, certainly behind the curve of the other councils, and I think we're looking for continuous improvement. But I don't want to think that the burden should be all on the SSC for, recommending ways to improve. And at our executive committee next, we're going to be talking about terms of reference, who should set terms of reference, how they should be reviewed, how do we keep the council informed of your workloads, the SSC workloads, and how much in advance should we give you those TORs, a bunch of the things you talked about. But I'm not so sure the council wants PDTs to task you, committees to task you, and what I'll be looking at with the executive committee and the council over the next month or so is, who is going to set these TORs, because everything is so structured in meeting our requirements to get a plan in place. We certainly don't want to have we hold up the SSC activities or the SSC activities hold us up. We really have to do better planning now that we have a new element that we're wrestling with how to make you most effective.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. As the SSC chair with the duties of setting the agenda for each meeting, I would appreciate that type of consolidation at the executive committee level. I mean, we were lucky to have John sit in on the meeting with us yesterday, and we had actually a good example of agenda items that came up this month, where we had a PDT request, a member from outside the council community request a review, and we just needed to triage the things that were directly related to fishery management plans to those that were not. And so if all of the requests came through the executive committee, we would be thankful. We just, in lieu of that, we need a way to prioritize. Thanks.
Anyone else in the council? Dr. Pierce.
on behalf of the SSC, Steve made a point relative to compensation, and he or they acknowledged that the council hasn't got anything to do with compensating them for their time. However, I think he was looking to us for some support, the executive committee specifically. So my question is, has the executive committee already addressed this issue regarding SSC compensation? And if you haven't, do you have any intentions to do so in a way that would address the SSC's specific concerns and their request?
The executive committee hasn't addressed it specifically. The council coordinating committee discussed it at the last annual meeting. If it's something that the council wants the executive committee to look at again, we can. I believe the position that the CCC took was that if there's funding available, it could be supported. But there was concern over rejiggering of budgets to fund the SSC and to take monies away from other pre-existing commitments. So it was sort of a statement, and Paul can correct me, or Rip can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the statement out of the CCC was, if and when monies become available specifically for this purpose, we would be supportive of it. Steve.
If I could actually expand on that a bit, I think compensation of SSC members is just the tip of the iceberg, is that we're really asking more of the SSC in the process. Now, at least the requirements of the Act require a larger role of the SSC. And for the SSC to do its job well, it requires resources. And I think if we look around the country at other regional SSCs, they're really carrying much more of the weight of the process than the New England SSC has in the past. And so we may need to transition to that. And in this rejiggering of the budget, I would request that that be considered, or what aspects of the job are going to be done by SSC, and if so, are we giving the SSC the resources they need to do a good job at that?
Okay. Anything further from the council? Okay. Thank you, Dr. Cadron. I understand you'll be available for a little bit longer today as we move into or transition into a scallop agenda item. Why don't we take a 5-minute break and allow Dee to set up, and then we'll transition right into SCALP committee report.
Agenda items today for you related to development and actions going on in the SCALP FM.